Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Baba Basra Chafalef, Baba Basra 21a, pagination is 41. We'll start on the facing page at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the page on the topic, at least at first, of zoning issues in terms of what kind of usage a person can make of a residence. Chanusha b'chotzer, a person has a store in a residential neighborhood. Yochal limchos b'yado, a person is allowed to object to such activity. The neighbor is objecting. V'lomer lo, and to say, eni yochal lishan, I'm not able to sleep. Mikol anechnosen u'mikol hayotzen, because of the people who are coming and going. Now, in order to apply this to practical halacha, we of course need to know what the norm of the area is. But the concept over here is that there could theoretically be a range of what's acceptable, but a neighbor could object. And in some cases, once the neighbors do not object for a period of time, the person acquires a chazaka. It becomes the norm to allow a certain type of activity. There is a range of discussion. When we say a person complains he can't sleep, is this a neighborhood that there's an afternoon siesta? Is this an area simply that people go to sleep at normal times? But if a person has a store in the home, people are coming and going. It depends what kind of things they're selling. One example that was given is the person is selling from the home alcoholic beverages. So people might come during a late night celebration in order to buy more beverages. And that's an example of a commercial enterprise in a residential neighborhood that brings rowdy people at odd hours. And all of that has to be taken into account. Aval osa kelim, but a person is allowed to make vessels in his home. Yotze umocha besoch hashuk, and then take them out and sell them in the marketplace. Ve'ini yachal limchos biyado, and you're not allowed to object. Neighbors can't object. Ve'lomer, and say, ve'lomer lo, ini yachal lishan lo mikol apatish ve'lo mikol arechayim, I'm not able to sleep because you're banging. If that's a normal thing, and again, we would have to know what the particular case is, but the basic idea that we are presenting here is that a person can use his location for a normal use, but to use it as a storefront is something of concern. Velo mikola tinokos, and a person cannot object to the sound of the children. And Rashi tells us that at first we thought that it's the children who are coming to buy things. And therefore the Gemara wonders, Maishna Resha, Maishna Seifa, what's the difference between the first part of the Mishnah that says that you're not allowed to sell things from the home because it would cause the neighbors distress? And why at the end of the Mishnah are you saying, and you can't object from the sound of the children, again, that we think refers to coming to buy things? Amar Rava at the end of the page, Rava said, Seifa Asan Latinoko Shabbos Rabbon. The topic of this end of the Mishnah that says that you can't object to the children has nothing to do with business and storefronts. It's referring to children who are coming to study Torah with the homeowner. Umitakonas Yoshua ben Gamla ve'eloch, and it's referring to the takona that Yoshua ben Gamla made. The Omar of Yehuda, Omar Rav. It was said, Baram indeed, Zachar also ish letov. remember that person favorably, Yehoshua ben Gamla Shemo, his name is Yehoshua ben Gamla, he's the one who this good thing should be attributed to, Shel Molehu, if not for him, Nishtakach Torah Yisrael, Torah could have been forgotten from the Jewish people, so to speak. He was a critical juncture in the effectiveness of Mesorah tradition. Shebetchila, because originally parents, a father, would teach the child. What happened if the father was not knowledgeable? So they made a takana that they would have an education system in Yerushalayim. But the Gemara describes that a person who did not have a father who could bring him to Yerushalayim so that he could study Torah wouldn't be able to study Torah, and we lost out on all those people. So they made a takana, sheyu moshivim b'chol pelech u'pelech, that they would have an education system in every region. There was still a flaw in the system in that they were only bringing the children in at the ages of 16 and 17. And the result was, Misha Yorabo Koesalov, if the Rebbe would get literally angry, annoyed with the person, with the student, Mavid Bo Vietze, the child would reject and he would walk out. And therefore they made a takana that there would be a very local education system in each city, umachnisim also kiven sheva, and they would start at the ages of 6 and 7. So this was the takon of Yehoshua ben Gamla, that every city should have teaching of Torah to the children, and on that the Mishnah says the neighbors can't object. There is an observation from the Pischei Tshuva in Simen Kuf Nun Vav that they can't object because he's doing it in his house. But if they were all living in the same house and he decides to bring in children and make a one-room schoolhouse in their house, that would be different. The threshold of tolerance here is because he's doing it in his house and they're just objecting to the traffic, but for the greater good, we allow such a thing to occur. Again, in this application, in their times, they didn't have school buildings, perhaps, for these young children, and this was the method that was being used. One comment that I believe is deserving of exploration here, the statement in the solution of age 16 and 17, that wasn't a good solution, because if the Rebbe would get angry, the student would kick and go out. He would reject the reprimand. So the word koes is a heavy word. A person is not allowed to have kas, anger. Kol koes ki'ilu avod avodah zarah. Person gets angry, it's like serving avodah zarah, it's idol worship. Not allowed to get angry. So perhaps this Gemara means that sometimes, even though he's wrong, but the Rebbe got angry. Such things happen. We're dealing with human beings. He has a lot of students, and sometimes it's stressful, and he gets angry, we're going to lose a student. Whereas if you start the children younger, they're more accustomed to the system, they have more allegiance to the system, and even if the Rebbe gets angry, loses his school one occasion, he'll come back, he'll apologize, and they'll continue on in the relationship. Perhaps, in that case, koes is literal, and it's referring to human frailty. It's a mistake, but people make mistakes, and you have to have a system that can tolerate mistakes, because they happen. Another approach might be that some rabbeim use ka'as haponim velo ka'as halev, external appearance of anger, even though they themselves are totally in control of themselves and they're not angry, but it's a little bit more of an expression. It's not quite ka'as anger. It's more of discipline and calling the child to task and demanding greater standards of the student, and telling them, this is not yet your potential. And if the child is coming into the system at 16 or 17, having learned whatever they did learn on their own, but they're only coming into this discipline situation at a teenage years, so then they're not going to find it so easy to be mekabel that type of reprimand and that type of calling them to task. If, however, the child, during the years where they're more accepting of parental figure, age 6 and 7, and you get them into that groove, so to speak, of their tests, and things are demanded of you, and you get a grade on the test, then that can carry on into the teenage years, and the child, when getting disciplined, will not be mevayit v'yetze. So again, two different approaches. Are we looking to fix things because of the teacher that lost his cool incorrectly, or are we referring to the discipline that a teacher shows, intending it for the benefit of the student and truly professionally without losing their cool? Which approach and what is the Gemara referring to? On the bottom of the page, we have another important topic, which is how serious we take the role of the Rebbe when he teaches the children. We have a case of Yoav, the general of David, who only killed out the Zohar, the male people of Amalek. And we know the mitzvah of destroying Amalek is that Hashem says they're fundamentally evil and they have to be destroyed. In the time of David, that nation was identifiable and there was a directive given that they have to do it. And Yoav, thinking he was doing the mitzvah, only destroyed the male. And David called him to task. And he answered that his Rebbe taught him Timcha es Zohar Amalek, the pasuk at the end of Kisetze, destroy the males of Amalek. And that's how he was taught. And on that, David says, Arur ose melechas Hashem remia. Cursed is the person who does the work of Hashem with trickery, with negligence. It's very serious to have taught something incorrect, is a very serious level. I've often thought that perhaps that's why we have this interesting custom when we say Parshas Amalek, we read the pasuk the way it's in the tradition, Timcha es Zecher Amalek, to destroy any remembrance of Amalek, and then we repeat it, and we say Timcha es Zecher Amalek, which is a different set of nekudos, but it's the same idea, to destroy Amalek in its entirety. And perhaps what we're looking to say is, even if a person were to say there's a different pronunciation here, it's Zecher, it's Zecher, but just make sure that it's not Zohar, males only, because that's a mistake that was made in the time of David and was dealt with in a very harsh manner. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.